A razor-thin victory for the Skagway Senior Center bond sparks questions for the Assembly. And a Haines man is arrested on felony assault charges. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. In October, Skagway voters approved a $6 million bond for a senior center and housing facility by just 5 votes. That razor-slim margin has caused some debate among Borough Assembly members in deciding how to proceed with the project. KHNS's Emily Files has more from the most recent Assembly meeting.
The Assembly looked over a draft request for engineering design proposals. While discussing what to ask for in the RFP, the Assembly tried to strike a balance between honoring the will of the people who voted for the project and the almost equal number who voted against it.
For the amount of money we're talking about, there's been a lot of criticism that you're going to spend $6 million for 7 units and a place to congregate doesn't seem like a really good expense of our money.
Assemblyman Orion Hansen suggested they leave the RFP's wording more open-ended so that they don't have to stick with the initial conceptual design. That design was drawn up by an architecture firm with guidance from the Senior Ad Hoc Committee. It includes 7 apartments in addition to the Senior Activity Center.
I personally think that the design that's submitted, or that this conceptual one, it could be a lot more efficient. I mean, there are 1-bedroom, 705 square foot units. That's pretty big.
Some other members agreed that there might be a more cost-efficient model. Assemblymember Spencer Morgan supported leaving the RFP open-ended.
Yeah, I think what that does is it allows us to get a little bit more bang for our buck.
But Assemblyman Jay Burnham fought back. He served as the liaison to the Senior Ad Hoc Committee for the past year.
They're the ones who designed it, worked with architects, and then to have it come to the table and the RFP just get changed around to say, just give us some designs and we'll pick what we want. And so why'd we have a senior committee to decide all this?
Then there was debate about whether to include a design for a senior center without housing in the RFP. Morgan said that might be sidestepping the public will by going against the ballot question's specifications. Here he is with Mayor Mark Schaefer and other Assembly members responding.
And so I don't see us being able to go against the voters and pull that out of there.
Right. And we're talking about senior housing.
So, I mean, they voted on apartments. Right. And whether it passed by just a couple votes, I don't think bringing a plan back to the table that doesn't have apartments is an option. Yeah.
But Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr. said asking for a senior center only design would shed light on how much the housing component of the project would actually cost.
Because then you can really tell the difference between what is the activity center and what is the housing cost.
That argument seemed to win over most of the Assembly. They left in the wording asking for a senior center only design and cost estimate. They also modified the RFP to give more design leeway. For example, if the engineer wanted to include a design with 9 apartments instead of 7. The RFP will come back to the Assembly for a second review at its December 15th meeting. Schaefer and Steve Burnham Jr. also gave an update on a meeting they attended with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. At the meeting, a consultant hired by White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad proposed a risk assessment before cleaning up contamination in the ore basin. Here's Schaefer.
I think we all know that contamination's got to come out, but we're waiting for them to take their next step and do their risk assessment of it.
Burnham reiterated what he said in an interview with KHNS. A risk assessment is fine as long as it happens quickly. Right now, the environmental firm that is proposing the study says it would take about a year to gather samples and finalize data. Finally, the Assembly approved a proposal to update an 8-year-old study on how Skagway spends cruise ship passenger taxes. The Assembly asked for 2 studies, one to be done immediately and the next in 2 years. Each would cost a maximum of $7,500. The borough plans to pay for them using the funding source at issue in the studies, cruise passenger taxes. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
A Haines man was arrested yesterday on a felony assault charge. 28-year-old Francis Hickman is accused of assaulting another man with a dangerous weapon. According to charging documents, police responded to a call from the alleged victim around 11 p.m. on November 30th. Officer Chris Brown responded, locating the man at 3 Mile Haines Highway. According to Brown, the man said Hickman fired two shots at him from a revolver at, quote, point-blank range. He also said Hickman, quote, pistol-whipped him and knocked his teeth out. Charging documents say the victim was asleep at Hickman's residence at 1.5 Mile Small Tracks Road when he was woken up and assaulted by Hickman. The victim then reportedly fled the residence. Police were unable to locate Hickman but found blood and two bullet holes at the residence, one in a wall and one in a window. Others who were reportedly at the residence said Hickman had left. In a press release, police said alcohol was a factor in the incident. The alleged victim was transported to the local clinic. According to charging documents, a doctor found he had sustained several injuries, including losing a tooth. Hickman was arrested on December 1st. He's being held on $25,000 bail. He was appointed a public defender, and a preliminary hearing is scheduled for December 9th at 10 a.m. The commercial fisheries for two seafloor-dwelling delicacies of Southeast Alaska started in October. The season for sea cucumbers is wrapping up, while fishing for gooey duck clams is expected to continue this winter. KFSK's Joe Vicnicki has an update on those fisheries.
Both sea cucumbers, slow-moving creatures shaped like their vegetable namesake, and gooey ducks, large clams, are plucked from the ocean floor by divers and sold on Asian markets. Diving started in early October for both. Phil Doherty is executive director of the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fisheries Association, an industry group based in Ketchikan. He says the sea cucumber fishery has gone well.
There's a trip limit of 2,000 pounds per diver in this fishery. It's pretty easy to manage from the Fish and Game Department's point of view. It might have gone a little bit longer this year, maybe by a couple of weeks. I mean, especially if we fish until December. We haven't fished in December for a while, but as I say, we're just mopping up the quota here next week.
By late November, little remained to harvest for cucumbers, with just two areas still open to fishing. In 19 other areas, the fleet has neared or surpassed guideline harvest levels. The biggest catch totals this year were in portions of Revilla Channel near Ketchikan, Chomley Sound on Prince of Wales Island, along with northern Clarence Strait and Chatham Strait. The overall guideline harvest level is 1.2 million pounds, and the region-wide harvest has already topped that mark, nearing 1.3 million. The fishery is managed with parts of southern and central southeast opened on a three-year rotation. The annual catch fluctuates depending on areas that are open from year to year. In the last two decades, the cute catch has been in the 1 million to 1.5 million pound range. The longer season this year may be because of a small drop in effort. The weeks with the highest participation saw about 173 divers making landings, down from closer to 200 in other years. Doherty thought cuke diving would be wrapped up by early December at the latest. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game reports an average price this year around $3.50 to $3.60 a pound. That makes the total ex-vessel value, or the value of cukes as they're offloaded at the docks, around $4.3 million this year. Meanwhile, the fishery for gooey duck clams is far from over. Fishing in various parts of the region hinges on levels of the toxin that causes paralytic shellfish poisoning. Clams are tested before the fishery opens, and areas that test too high for shipping live product are not fished. Doherty calls this a strange year for gooey ducks.
We've had some high PSP levels in areas where we normally don't see them. And then we've seen those levels drop off and then get high again. And it hasn't been the best of years for PSP levels here in Southeast. So it's really slowed down this fisheries quite a bit.
As of mid-November, the gooey duck clam catch was just under 100,000 pounds, with about 85% of the guideline harvest level remaining. The number of divers is down in that fishery, too, with just 45 out in the first few weeks of the season. It's been over 60 divers in recent years. The price this year is more than double last year's for gooey ducks, in the neighborhood of $13 to $15 a pound, according to Doherty.
So we have a high price. We have a fairly good guideline harvest level, but we've had trouble catching the Gooey Ducks because of PSP levels.
Doherty hopes PSP levels will drop this winter and fishermen will be able to take advantage of that strong price. In the past decade, that fishery has had an ex-vessel value ranging from $2 million to over $5.5 million. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.